Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. I'm in Denver, Colorado, at the American Small Business Development Center's conference, and it's the annual conference. I'm having a great time out here, and just with 1,200 of my best friends, and I'll be telling you more about them a little bit later on the show. All the great folks at the ASBDCs, at the SBDCs around the country. The ASBDC is their national organization. Bill Dunkelberg is our guest. Dr. William Dunkelberg is the at one time, he was the head of the business school, at the chairman of the business school over at the Temple University in the great city of Philadelphia. He now is professor of economics there, and he's also the chief economist for the NFIB, the National Federation of Independent Business, and one of the smartest guys I know, especially one of the smartest guys in our brain trust. He's our good friend Bill Dunkelberg. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you very much, sir. How's it out there in the Mile High?
It's great. I love it out here. You know, the Big Sky Country is. I mean, when you hear the term Big Sky, folks, if you've never been to this part of the country, Colorado, Wyoming, Montana, that kind of thing, you know, Utah, even Utah, a lot of places like that. If you've never been there out here, you just can't appreciate what that means when they say Big Sky Country. I know, Bill, I know you've been here many times.
Yeah, my son lives in Aspen, and he just got married about a month ago out there, so yep. We were just out there for the wedding. Beautiful, beautiful country.
It is really something. Bill, we got a lot of ground to cover today. This is a very, very Mr. Bernanke, the chairman of the Fed, the Federal Reserve Board, he's going to get his mettle tested today, isn't he?
Well, it's going to be a tough day for him to, you know, figure out exactly what to do. I mean, that's the hard part.
Well, let's tell the audience. Let's explain to the audience a little bit, if you will, go through a few of the things that have gotten us to where we are today.
Yeah. Well, how far back do you want to go? I mean, I think most people who are looking at the economy now go back to, you know, 2000. And there, if you recall, we had a stock market peak, and then the market fell away fairly quickly because we had a bubble in the stock market, and that took a dive. And so, excuse me, everybody was worried that would slow the economy down, which it didn't do that badly. But then we did slow down substantially, and then we had, of course, a few hits. We had some shocks in the stock market. We had 9/11. We had a number of events that could threaten the economy, you know, could make people stop spending and so on. So the Fed, in order to try to help with this, cut its the cost of funds the banks essentially can borrow down to 1%.
Which was about a 12 or 13 step process, as I remember, all at once. And I mean, every time they met, they cut rates, Bill, and not only. Not only is it the amount of money that banks pay for the interest that banks pay for money, but it corresponded to the interest that businesses paid for money.
Exactly.
And individuals.
It leaks over into the rates that get charged for like prime lending rates, for example, are just really pegged off of the federal funds rate. So this plunges from like 6.5 down to 1, which is a rather remarkable decline in and of itself, and then stays at 1 for a very long time. Well into 2003, after the economy's recovered, and this really sets off a whole bunch of new kinds of asset creation. Some of them aren't really assets anymore, but basically, if you can borrow money at 1 and you can lend it at 5, 6, and 7, you're making a lot of money. Banks made a lot of money through that time; they loved it, and of course, Japan was also letting money be lent at a very low rate. So we had the so-called carry.
They had zero interest, didn't they?
Right. It was essentially zero, but you could borrow money.
I mean, it's basically zero.
Yeah, but it was close. you could borrow money in Japan and then, you know, convert it to dollars and then put it to work over here. So tons of money came in, and of course this resulted in some fairly lax lending standards. And then we got the housing thing rolling along, and of course it looked really profitable. House prices are rising. Even foreign money came pouring in, and we started building houses like crazy and selling them because you could get really cheap money. And so house prices started to become bubblish, and lots of underwriting standards went away. People were basically getting signature loans that were subprime quality.
And folks, this wasn't a situation where a bank said, I'm going to loosen up my standards. This was a situation where an industry was created to create products that were lax.
Yeah, it wasn't so much the banks as it was a bunch of other companies that were making mortgages. The mortgage companies were doing this, but they were borrowing money from the banks. The banks were investing in them, if you will, and then helping them take the big pools of mortgages and package them up and sell them into all kinds of new products, the so-called CDOs and so on. And that's really where we are. So those those packages of mortgages are not just A-quality mortgages. There's subprime in there. And, of course, the bubble burst and subprime started to go bad. And now the value of those portfolios isn't what people thought it was. And the whole issue about illiquidity in the market, which is what everybody's talking about, is really just a function of the fact that these people who made these investments are not willing to recognize that they're not worth what they paid for them, because you can always sell stuff. It's just a question of the price, right? They don't want to sell at the low price, and that's the problem.
Hey, Bill?
Yeah.
Hey, Bill?
Yeah.
My grandmother would say, the chickens have come home to roost.
Or the turkeys.
Exactly. And so where we are now, folks, is Wall Street, which is a derivative of everything that you and I do, ladies and gentlemen. Wall Street is not the dog. They're the tail. And and right now they're trying to wag the dog.
Exactly.
And they're whining. Bill, have you ever heard so much whining from a bunch of people who got rich on where we are right now?
Exactly. You're exactly right. In the simple terms, they want the Fed to lower rates because that increases the value of those lousy assets that they have.
They want the Fed to bail them out.
Unload them. Shame on them for that, you know.
They want the Fed to bail them out. Now,
right.
My audience, small business owners, and I, we don't have the ability to petition the Fed to do stuff like that. But they have. Wall Street has. And so when we come back after these messages, folks, Bill's going to talk to us about what he thinks the Fed is going to do, and we're going to talk about what they should do. There's a term called moral hazard, which is very much in play right now, that Bill will explain to us. And then we're going to talk also, Bill's going to stay with us for a little while. We're going to talk about what he thinks about the economy and what you and I should be doing in our small businesses as we go through the rest of 07 and into 08. 20 after, I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with me.
See the dog and butterfly.
The faster we run, the further away the dreams of riches become. Lost in the sun, spinning and turning, blind in the burning light of day.
We're back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. Please check them out. They'll use them to your advantage. We designed them for you. They're made for you. We made the price right. There's no barrier to entry, no cost at all. You don't have to tell us who you are when you show up. All you got to do is get to our website. We'll let you come on in and hang out with us. And you use it to your advantage to help you have the maximum opportunity to be successful. Bill Dunkelberg is all over our websites. He's a great contributor to all the things that we do. We appreciate the hard work he does for years now. And Bill, I'm so wound up on this Fed thing that I almost forgot to mention about your survey. Bill conducts a survey, folks, every month. It has been now for decades, literally decades. Over 30 years, and he polls small business owners every month, and they tell him how things are going in the marketplace. I mean, I'm talking rubber meets the road here, folks, real world stuff. And he compiles that information and puts it into a world-class report. There's nothing else like it on the planet. And he puts it out in a lot of different ways, but one of the things, we're very fortunate to have Bill join us once a month very faithfully to give us that information. And Bill, we've got a lot of other stuff to cover, and I don't want to give your report short shrift, but I think it would be appropriate to include some of the key things that you found this month in your report.
Sure. Well, let's go over it fairly quickly. The overall optimism index was down a little over a point from July, but still above June. So it's been kind of wobbling in this range actually all year. And it's consistent with the kind of growth we're seeing, around 2-2.5% in the real economy. So it says, you know, growth is slow but not great. Inside of that index, of course, there are 10 components, and what it was nice to see was the job market indicators improved. The percent planning to create new jobs went up 2 points, and the job openings number went up 2 points, and that's good news. People did see, owners did see.
But Bill, let me stop you. Bill, let me stop you. That does that track with the jobs numbers we got for July and August that were adjusted down?
Well, of course, those are forward-looking numbers that went up. So we did predict the August negative gains. That is, reports of our owners about the actual hiring they did came in negative for August,
right,
just a teeny bit. So we're not surprised. But you know, there's a lot of noise in the numbers and a lot of flopping around. So that looks good. We did have some decline in their inclination to accumulate inventories. They're a little pessimistic about sales, but of course, you turn the TV on, all you hear is recession, recession, recession.
Right, exactly.
So, I mean, they're, you know, the media.
It is possible for us to talk ourselves into one, isn't it?
Oh, sure, yeah. You know, if everybody stops spending, we have a recession. It's really
that's
easy.
Not that what I just said, ladies and gentlemen, is a real possibility. We could, and see, this is one of the things that irritates me, Bill, about the financial media, especially, and Wall Street. You know, Wall Street is such a schizophrenic entity or whatever it is up there. And you know, they're, what was it, about 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, the Dow Jones fluctuated 400 points in 7 hours?
Sure, yeah.
Well, up 300, down 300, up 100, I've forgotten what it was.
Right.
You know, we don't the rest of the world doesn't live their life like that.
No, and down on Main Street, you know, you hear all this about all the credit problems. On Main Street, there are no credit problems. We have,
right,
we have nobody complaining about credit, nobody complaining that it's harder. Rates are actually falling a little bit that we pay on our short-term money, or have been falling. So everything is looking really good, and we've got, you know, like a, as you point out, a 30-year perspective to measure this in. Credit markets have been really friendly to small business for 15 years now, and they still are. So it's
but all the all of the wacky credit policies that happened for housing and to help literally build a subprime industry that has now virtually collapsed.
Right.
None of those practices accrued to small business.
That's right. I'm the chairman of the board of a small bank. We have $100 million in loans, and small business is our market. And we haven't had a delinquency or a bad debt in 3 years. We've been in business, and we haven't changed our credit standards. People who need to finance the normal business of making GDP in this country can easily get the credit they need.
And I believe that just, Bill, correct me if you think I'm wrong, because you're not only our economist, you're not only one of our top economists, but you, as you say, you're also a bank founder and executive. I believe that what's been happening in the past, where we got the money we needed, but not a bunch of money that we didn't need or couldn't justify, I believe that same kind of relationship with our banks is going to be true next year if the whole subprime market collapses and you know, regardless of what happens.
Sure, there's still savings there that people need to have deployed. We convert their savings into investment. That's the job of the banking system. And we're going to keep doing that next year just like we do this year. And I can't imagine how all that's going to dry up all of a sudden. It's not
right.
going to.
No, I don't think so either.
Yeah.
The moral hazard that I talked about a minute ago, folks, we're going to talk about that after we come back from the break. But, Bill, before we take this break in the next 30 seconds, tell us what you think in general, your small business owners, how they feel about the next 6 months or the next 12 months.
Well, the next 6 months look like, you know, continued slow growth. We don't see it really any differently than it's been for the first half of the year, which is about 2-2.5% growth. So it's going to be slow and not exciting, but we're at full employment, so it's hard to get the resources to grow much faster. I think we're okay. And we'll be doing pretty well by the end.
If we could get 2 million more qualified workers, not just warm bodies, 2 million more qualified workers, this economy would probably grow at
3%. That's right. That's right. 1 in 4 firms has at least one job opening they can't fill. And, you know, 80% of the people trying to hire out there say there are few or no qualified applicants.
Yeah. That's not helping the growth, folks. And I want to remind you of something I said a long time ago, folks, and for quite a while since then. 2% growth on $13 trillion of an economy is a lot of productivity. Stand by. 20.
Jim Blasingame. He's the cyber king of small business. Search Google for small business expert, and he's tops on the list.
I guess that makes you number one.
He's number one on Google and number one in our hearts.
Aww.
He's Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining us. Thanks for staying with me. Bill Dunkelberg is going to be with us just a couple of more minutes. I'm going to let him go a little bit early. He's got to catch a train down to D.C. He's going down to work with the SBA on a very important project they're doing. You're giving a keynote down there, aren't you?
That's right, Bill. That's right.
Yeah.
So you don't want me to miss that.
No, I don't. I don't want Administrator Preston being mad at me. And I know you'll attribute it to me if you're late, so I don't want that to happen. Hey,
well,
Bill.
Let's do moral hazard.
Yeah, quickly. Tell the audience what moral hazard is and why the Fed is in a bind about that.
Right. Well, moral hazard is an economic concept that says if you protect people from the consequences of their actions, which are bad actions, they'll do more of them. So with car insurance, we drive more carelessly. With fire insurance, we don't keep our homes as safe as we could. And in this case, if the question is, you know, if you made reckless loans but the Fed will bail you out, then you'll keep making reckless loans. That's the moral hazard problem.
Yep.
And so a lot of people worry that if the Fed cuts rates, it's really going to signal to the market that, hey, next time around, make those stupid loans because we'll bail you out. And that's the concern.
And you and I don't get that kind of there is no moral hazard dilemma for the Fed when it comes to small business owners, Bill. And, you know, Bill, there's a macro issue. Not that the subprime meltdown is not pretty macro, but there's another issue, another scenario that I think is comparable, is tantamount to this, and that is what happened in Japan in the 80s and 90s.
Exactly.
The banks wouldn't quit loading money to bad businesses. They wouldn't foreclose on those businesses,
right.
And they put their economy in the tank for 15 years.
Yeah. So that's what we have to worry about. And, you know, unfortunately, I think we have a Federal Reserve that's well intentioned, but the people haven't had a lot of experience. There are a lot of youngsters there. I'm worried.
They need more gray hair over there, don't they?
Yeah, I think I'm worried the market's going to bully them into a cut. So my prediction is that we're going to cut rates today, 25 basis points, because everybody says that's what the market expects. So you got to do it, or the stock market will go down. If they don't cut, the stock market will go down this afternoon after the announcement. But I think the Fed shouldn't cut. It chose 5.25. You could argue about whether that's the right rate or not, but it said that's what we need to fight inflation in the long haul, and to bend that rule just for these short-run problems is a mistake.
Haven't we already kind of absorbed most of the subprime challenges?
Well, we're not sure. We wish we knew because
we just don't know, do we?
Hidden out there. But
yeah.
But even if we haven't, the markets, you know, the Fed's been providing liquidity. It says, okay, we'll provide the money, but you have to pay 5.25. You can't get a deal.
And it's been doing that. It's been providing liquidity.
Absolutely.
Just at 5.25.
Absolutely. So,
and I'll tell you what, Bill, I predicted, as you may know, I predicted in January, in the end of December for my 2007 predictions, I predicted that there would be, that the Fed would cut rates one time in the fourth quarter. I mean in the third quarter. But I'm with you. I hope they don't, because I think the Fed, I mean, I don't want the stock market to crash, but I think I think somebody needs to be put in the timeout chair, and I don't think that the Fed should give in to them. I think they should send them to bed without their supper. Hey, Bill, I promise to let you go early. I'm going to do that. Thank you for being here. Good job today, as always. We'll see you next month.
All right. Take care.
Safe travels, Bill.
Right.
Dr. Bill Dunkelberg, ladies and gentlemen, just absolutely the best. Bill Dunkelberg, I'm so proud of him for the work that he does. Bill Dunkelberg, ladies and gentlemen, should be on the Federal Reserve Board. He should be on that board. The president should have appointed him to that board. He has got so much knowledge, so much perspective. We would have had a great champion of small business, if Bill, of course he is anyway, but if he could have had so much more influence there. And I'll tell you right now, the Fed needs the gray hair. I've seen his hair, and I know how old Bill is. They need his hair. He need his experience on the Fed right now, and it'll be interesting to see what happens today. And I know you may think I'm crazy when I say I hope the Fed, believe it or not, you know, how many times, folks, have you heard me on the show over the years, back when I was interviewing Fed officials, People who were members of the Federal Open Market Committee who were making these decisions. I was begging them, you know, please keep rates low for small business owners. So it may seem a little bit weird for me to be saying, I hope they don't lower rates today. I want you to have as low interest rates as possible. But I'll tell you something, folks. I think we got a problem with Wall Street. We got a lot of folks up there who don't understand that they are the tail. Everything that they do is a derivative of what you and I do. Everything they have is a derivative of what you and I do. Nothing that they do, none of the money that they make on Wall Street can happen until you and I make a sale. Until you and I shake hands with a customer and make a sale. Everything that we do rolls up to them. And I don't know what the Fed's going to do today. I suspect they're going to cut rates a quarter of a percent. I actually hope they don't. I think we need to just take our medicine and move on. It's almost 20 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. I'll be right back with Claire Griffin. We're going to talk about the Constitution.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.